WNTN Radio Boston, welcome back to Italy Echo, the only bilingual Italian-American show in the greater Boston area and New England. Today, my guests are the member of Riot for Romance. Riot for Romance is a rock band from the United States consisting of Jason Hansen, vocals, guitars, and keys, Brad Miotti on bass, and Kelly Nunn, drums and guitars. The group integrates post-punk, alternative rock, and shoegaze into what the members would like to call a glorious racket of rock and roll. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you for joining us. So let's start with Jason. Can you tell us a bit about your upcoming album and what can fans expect from this new release?
Yes, thanks for asking. We're actually in the middle of recording that right now. So we have a lot of material on the way, and it's really just centered around this idea of offloading toxic worldviews, unburdening ourselves, going through life's process of learning and growing. So we're excited to release this, and our first song that we decided to sneak preview is the cover Karma Police by Radiohead. So it gives a little bit of the vibe that you can expect from our interpretation there. And it should be a full-length album. It'll come out on vinyl and cassette. Who knows? Maybe CD. I don't know. All these physical media options are coming back around, and that's super exciting. I mean, we love streaming, of course, but there's something satisfying about having something physical in your hand.
Absolutely, I agree. And Kelly, your last single was a cover of Radiohead's Karma Police. What drew you to that song, and how did you approach putting your own spin on it?
It was kind of interesting because I don't remember if it was Jason or Brett who brought up the idea of Karma Police. And originally I wasn't, not to say I wasn't a fan of doing the song. I'm a big, big fan of Radiohead. And, you know, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, like, is there justice that we can do to this song, especially when you're approaching such an iconic song? You know, so when we first sat down and discussed the option of doing it, I think the main focus was is A, can we do it justice? B, how can we represent us in this particular, you know, arena, if you will? And so like one of the things that we always liked when we, you know, when we did our first record was just some of the ambient stuff. And, you know, the original version of that song is very stripped down. There's very minimalistic stuff in there. And so we're like, well, we want to add our spin to that. We want to have, you know, a lot of the ambient guitar stuff, a lot of the piano stuff, and pay homage to that. But let's make it our own and really start to kind of dive in and let the audience see us creating, recreating, or reimagining this if we were to be writing this song by ourselves, if that makes sense.
Of course. Thank you. And now, Brett, so Miotti, your last name sounds Italian. Where are you from?
It is very Italian. My grandfather on my dad's side is from Genoa, so Northern Italian. A lot of people, when they see me, think because of my height, I'm Irish or something else, but no, Northern Italian, baby.
Yeah, I'm from Northern Italian too. Interesting.
Nice.
So, Brad, being in a band where each member lives in a different state must have its challenges. Can you tell us a bit about how you manage to collaborate and make music together despite the distance?
Sure. It definitely has its challenges, but I will say that I'm actually a huge fan of it. I think it allows for more thoughtful songwriting. You know, typically when I've been in bands before, you know, we would kind of all get together in a room and sort of hash a song out in real time. And I think sometimes the pressure of sort of immediately responding or whatever kind of makes that complicated. So, I mean, the challenges with, you know, being across different states is maybe the feedback from an idea isn't real time. We all have different schedules. Jason and Kelly are both parents. So in addition to their jobs. They have full-time jobs of being parents. But I quite like this format of collaborating. It allows me to kind of sort of self-edit before I share with the band. And then it allows the band members to maybe kind of listen to what I've shared or another band member shared and sort of react, or I should say respond instead of react, sort of sit with it a little bit, and then kind of really think about in a purposeful way how they're contributing to it. So I guess the message there is just like, it's challenging for sure, but I actually really like it. I wish this sort of technology to be able to do this was around a long time ago.
Thank you. And Jason, artificial intelligence is becoming more and more prevalent in the music industry. What are your thoughts on the use of AI in music creation and production? And would you ever consider incorporating AI technology into your own music making process?
Viviana, I think that's an awesome question. And it's obviously top of mind over the past year in particular with things like ChatGPT coming to light and really adopting. I'm a nerd for technology in general, which is, I think, one of the reasons, to echo Brett's sentiment, why this works so well for me using technology as we write. So I'm not opposed to AI. In fact, it's something I've studied quite a bit in general in communication and how we interact. And if you think about it, we've always had new innovations within technology and media challenging how we approach music, how we consume it, how we work in that world. For example, you know, in the 80s, sampling started to come around. And so, you know, all of a sudden, as artists, the question arose, what do we do with that? Is that legal? Is that a copyright infringement? What does this mean? And it's a process. And so with every new innovation comes a positive and a negative, and you just have to embrace the positive and I think look at the negative and be advocates for creativity and helping the music community and fans and listeners and music lovers all around, right? So with AI, it's not going to go away. It's certainly an evolution and an innovation, and it's something that we've been using for a long time. It's just reached a point of critical mass that causes pause within the creative and artist communities. And so for me, I would say, I don't think we in particular would incorporate AI at a very integrated level, but certainly using it to generate ideas or for quick answers that might take me a while to look on Google, I can go to something like ChatGPT and pose the question and have it very quickly respond. I just need to double check its work and kind of move forward. So I don't know if that's a direct answer, but I think in short, innovations have always come about, and they move the needle forward in music if we allow it to, if we embrace it as a tool and not rely on it as a point of creativity in and of itself. And then I think as those who bear the cross of being an artist, it's up to us to advocate and protect our rights. But that balance will come through, and I think we'll see some great uses within art and music, specifically with AI. It's just how it's being used.
Right, right. And finally, Kelly, with AI technology advancing rapidly, protecting artists' rights and ensuring a fair compensation for their work has become a pressing issue. What is your perspective on the current state of artist protection, and how do you believe it can be improved to better support creativity?
Yeah, this is a pretty tough question because, I mean, as we're seeing right now with like the Ed Sheeran cases and cases like that in court, you know, the courts deem that anything over 3 seconds is considered, and it has to be within a melody driven of it. So, you know, you have, because there's so much more, A, from a population standpoint, but then within that population, you have such a whole lot more people that are creating music, as before there wasn't, you know, and there wasn't the opportunities now where we have mass production going on worldwide from people from the luxuries of their bedrooms, you know. So music is widely more available. And so now, and, you know, let's be honest, there's only so much you can create in the sake of how melodies are written and things of that nature. That's why the courts have really said, hey, listen, the way that you structure your song is not up for debate. It's whether or not you're using someone else's influence when it comes to either melody writing or lyrical content, and it go backs by that intent, meaning you have to have the intent of when I'm writing a song, am I using someone else's influence on that? And so, you know, we're seeing that firsthand. And, you know, I think the best ways to, is, you know, to protect oneself in these type of environments is when you're writing a song, making sure, A, you're not allowing the influences that you are enjoying. Now you're unconsciously or consciously, depending on the circumstances, but unconsciously using the influences that you're listening to guide you through that new artistry. But if it does, then just, you know, pay the royalties to it. You know what I'm saying? It's an easy solution. But, you know, when we're seeing like the Robin Thicke case where, you know, you're talking, they made over $70 million on that record on that single, I should say. And, you know, they end up having to pay, you know, almost $10 million in royalty backlog, you know, to do that. And it changed the whole forecast of the song because now, you know, they didn't just pay the royalty and get it done. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's silly. If you're going to do this, just pay the piper and go ahead and move along, because you're saving yourself and your, you know, art from having to deal with the legal processes of this.
Thank you so much, Riot for Romance, for joining us today. Stay tuned, because we're now going to play Less for Regret.
Privately resounding. This is what you get. This is what you get when you mess with us. You get when you mess with us.